Please be seated. I'm pretty certain that I like the image of this week's John the Baptist as opposed to last week's John the Baptist. Last week, the weird John, out in the wilderness yelling repent to everyone, is just sort of abrasive to me. His annoying certainty about all things, especially all things religious, is off-putting to me. I guess it reminds me too much of the church of my upbringing. Instead, I like this week's John a lot better because I think I can identify more with this John that we meet in prison. Not that I've ever been in prison, but I have known his kind of doubt, his kind of fear. I've known what it is to yearn for the sort of understanding that John seems to yearn for. And along with John, I find myself willing to ask hard questions, even when I know I might not get sure answers. And apparently that's okay. As we see in today's gospel lesson, Jesus' response to John's question carries no judgment. There's no surprise on his part, not even a small measure of wondering why in the world he'd question what he seemed to already know. It's as though it's to be expected, maybe even expected of all of us. And I take some comfort in that. But I also know that it's only part of the story, because when Jesus turns his attention to the crowd with his own questions, what did you go out into the wilderness to see, to look at? What did you go looking for? Were you looking for a prophet or something more? What did you go to hear, to feel, to experience? What are you looking for? And for me, that's Jesus' question both to John's disciples as well as to the crowds. What are you looking for? It's a question of the gap that lies between expectation and experience. And to me, it's just as relevant a question for you and me today to ponder, especially in our Advent journeys toward Christmas. What are you looking for? It's a question, you know, that Jesus asks a lot. In fact, those are the very first words of Jesus in the Gospel of John. What are you looking for? What do you seek? What will satisfy you? What are your soul's deepest longings? What will bring you joy? And he's still asking that question. He still wants to know, because it seems we human beings are really good at looking for all the wrong things in all the wrong places. And in case you haven't noticed, that's the way it is most often with Jesus. We want answers, and Jesus gives us more questions. So what are you looking for this year, this Christmas? Don't answer right away. On your Advent journey, just allow yourself to sit with that question for a while, to sit in your private moments and ponder. What are you looking for? I guess if I've learned anything in my years as a priest is that Jesus doesn't necessarily expect us to be too quick with our answers, but instead to let them marinate a little bit, to bloom into something more, maybe even more questions. For it's there where I think we come to know God as God knows us. What are you looking for? The answers are as varied as each of us is unique. Maybe it's peace. Maybe it's happiness that's been lost. Maybe it's freedom from worry or freedom from grief. Maybe it's to reconcile with someone whose presence you miss. Maybe it's good news for a change. Maybe it's a simple sense of normalcy, or to have things like they were. Maybe it's as simple as an insurance settlement. And maybe you have no idea what you're looking for. You know, just know that something is missing. What are you looking for? Don't answer yet. Just think about it. At Christmas, so much of what we lay before the manger are hopes that we have, even the smallest of hopes, for something different, something new, something more. But somehow we got to figure out how to name those things before we could ever hope to find them. How do you do that? I don't have a clue. That's what we all spend so much of our lives trying to figure out. But what I do know is that I don't believe Jesus' lack of an answer to John's disciples or to the crowds is a means of evading our deepest hopes and longings. Instead, I believe Jesus' questions are an open invitation to each of us to find our own answers in him and through him. You see, I don't think Jesus is sitting around waiting for us to invite him into our lives. Instead, I think Jesus is inviting us into his life, knowing that perhaps there we can find whatever it is we might be looking for. Into his life, where the blind do receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. You see, from the time that Jesus first called his first disciples to his non-answer to John and the crowds, he knew he wasn't the kind of Messiah that people were looking for. So instead, he invites them into his life to follow, to come and see, to tell what they've seen and heard. He invites them into a relational and active way of engaging with the world, to learn, to grow, to make a difference. And I think to find the things all of us so desperately spend so much of our lives searching for. We're invited into that life. We don't have to push our way through the doors or pass a series of tests to be qualified. The invitation is already there, and it's been there since we were claimed as Christ's own forever. And when it comes to us as seekers with a lot of questions, when Christ turns to us and asks us just to go tell what you've seen and heard, it is a simple and open invitation to experience all that God has done and all that God offers. But you got to be ready, because it's a pretty big invitation. Yet when we accept it, we accept the possibility that new things might be revealed to us, that our lives might be changed forever, and that we truly might find what can fill that God-sized hole in our heart. Because when we take the time to truly dwell in God's presence, we can't help but be changed. And what's revealed to us, it may happen quickly or it may take years. But with God working in us and through us, we cannot help but be transformed and in turn experience the revelation of Jesus as truly the Messiah. And then maybe the question to us is more than what are you looking for? Maybe it's what are you waiting for? Whatever those hopes may be, it's my prayer that you find them. That you find them unwrapped and waiting in Bethlehem, calling you to glad tidings of great joy. God love you. Amen.